This is DH Radio and CJMQ 88.9 FM. Now, as you listeners know, the last few years have been filled with all kinds of great Canadian music, and particularly from the indie scene, and as much as we can from the local scene, and stars in that local scene rising beyond belief over the last couple of years has definitely been the band Harvest Breed. Now, I know that name might not ring a bell right away to some of you, but for those of you who've been listening regularly, you'll probably remember Jake and the Leprechauns. That was their first incarnation. This band has been reborn, guys. And it's in being reborn, they have put out an album that has a certain kind of refinement, a definite sentiment of growth, and they've just brought it all home. It's a fantastic album. On the phone with me now is Phil. Now, of Jake and the Leprechauns, of course. Now, Philip, tell me, Philip Cousteau, by the way, the idea of everything changing. Now, the name has changed of the band. That's a big growing point. That could not have been an easy feat.
No, it wasn't easy, but I think we'd reached a point where it was necessary, just because we'd been playing so much in different cities, and our music had been sort of growing and growing to different locales as well, and the name had become sort of a problem. It was just an old, ridiculous joke between friends, and we were getting problems because of it. Just we were getting categorized as, Celtic or Irish or whatever. So it was, we just constantly had to explain to people that it wasn't the kind of music we were making, and we had to explain why and all this stuff. And because this album, we were going for something different in the process of making it, and in the technical aspect of it, we just decided it was a good good crossroads for us to, to change the name of the band and come up with something different as well as far as the album goes.
I think that's really brave, because as much as I completely understand, I hadn't thought about it that way, but it does make sense that people would probably initially assume just the Leprechaun reference. That,
yeah, and just like sending the album out for different festivals and stuff like that in the U.S. and in Europe, and it just became more and more obvious that it was just an additional sort of obstacle for us, that a lot of people would just dismiss the album right away without even giving it a listen, just because of the name of the band. They figured it wasn't something they were interested in. So it was a little bit, there's so much music out there that if you make it that hard on yourself to start with, it's a little, that it makes it more difficult for no reason.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So how did you, now the consensus means that, now are there six of you?
I'm
trying to remember.
Six.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep.
When the six of you, that meeting of the minds, now on stage, there is a really distinct mellowness, and there never feels, as an audience member and a fan of the band, there never feels like a battle of egos. So did there wind up being any difficulty as far as settling on Harvest Breed as the band's new?
Not really.
Name?
I wanted to be the change and the decision to be really democratic. So I asked everyone for suggestions, and everybody would send me their suggestions without knowing what the other people's suggestions were. So I compiled a list that we all voted on, secret ballot, and I kept thinning out the list until we had a final sort of three or four, and then and Harvest Breed kept coming out of the list as a clear winner every time. So it wasn't really much of a debate. It was a clear winner from the start. So that we just, and I came up with it, but I knew right away, like it felt sort of right from the beginning compared to some other names that were good that other people came up with, or even I came up with, but it just, we couldn't really see ourselves as. And the difficulty these days too is most of the names that anyone can can come up with at least 10 good band names and go online and check them out, and they're already taken. So that's part of the challenge too, is finding something that isn't being used already by some obscure band in California or something like that.
There, and goodness knows, there are a lot of obscure bands out there.
Yeah, no kidding. It's crazy.
So, especially now, my goodness, that's one of the things that really blows my mind about the music industry right now, is pretty much anybody who sort of wants to make music.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you just go on MySpace, which nobody really does anymore, but if you just type a band name and type MySpace afterwards, it's bound to be there. And not that it's necessarily a problem legally, but if you're changing names already, it's already a big decision. You don't really want to create legal troubles for yourself. So we just had to find something that we could stick with and be happy with. So Harvest Breed, it is.
It was here. I don't know if you saw that I posted this on there's an event page, because there's a CD launch coming up the 13th of April at the Musée des Beaux-Arts for this album. And I posted on there that my friend Michelle and I, being big fans of the band, were like, what are we going to call ourselves now? Because we had said, well, we have to have like a fan club name of some kind. So we had said, well, we'll be Jake's Ladies. And then we were like, when you change the band name,
yeah, you have to find a new name too.
We were like, what are we going to call ourselves now? So we decided to go with the Busy Bees, because it was it was the first song that made us really click and become hooked on the band's music. So any ladies out there that want to apply, guys can too, if they want to be one of the Busy Bees, just contact me or Michelle. Now, as far as progression goes on this album, there's it's really I've never heard so many guys with guitars manage to be so quiet at times. It's really
it's a challenge.
There's some really especially like I was a big fan of At Midnight the Bird Song. Like it's one of those your last album was one of those albums that was very easily put on repeat, and it's the same thing for this one. But there's what do you find, what for yourself as being integral to the production of this album, what would you say is the biggest difference for you?
Well, this is the first album that we had worked with Mark Lawson, who did Arcade Fire's last two records. We had worked with him in the past, but this was the first album that he was going to be at the helm working on the album from the beginning to the end. And so we decided to record this album live to tape. So, these days most people record with a computer, the same way you probably do at the radio station, and most people work in the industry. But we sort of had the discussion about the records that we really like that were made in the 70s and how they were made, whether it be, Bob Dylan's old records or Neil Young or whatever. And so those records were all recorded live to tape. So they're basically a bunch of musicians in the same room, and it's a tape machine that's recording the moment. And so at the end, you decide whether or not you like the take. If you do, then that's what goes onto the record. Instead of having each musician play their part.
The layers.
Yeah, the layers, exactly. Yeah. So
layering is a very strange concept to me.
It's a strange concept, and some people are very good at it and manage to pull off really good records with it. But in the end, it's a challenge not to sit there and sort of become obsessed with details that don't really pertain to the performance. And and just by the fact that you have to make decisions when you're recording to tape, at the end you decide whether or not the song's good enough, like the take is good enough for you. And if you do, then you have to live with it, and that's what it is with, warts and all. So so this one we decided to record that way for the first time, and so it was the six of us in a church, and sitting down facing each other and playing together, and we settled on doing three takes for each song max, because we just wanted to keep it fresh and keep it really. So most of the songs on the record are either first or second take, basically, And that's it, you know. So it's a really a record of that moment in time and space. And we recorded the entire thing over 4 days, so it's just the first or second take. So I feel when I hear the record now, if I listen to it, because we finished it a little while ago, if I listen to it now, it feels like that moment. I can hear that church, I can hear that room, and it feels to me like I'm standing in that room with us playing, you know.
Wow. So where was the church?
It's the Arcade Fire Studio, which is in
Farnham.
In Farnham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so. What an interesting. It's a place that's already going to have some very important musical vibes.
Yeah. No kidding. And
I believe in that stuff.
Yeah. And that place is sort of, has a definite atmosphere to it, but it's also just the room itself has a great feel to it. The just music in that room sounds really good. So we didn't do very much to it. It was just whatever we played straight to tape, not too much processing or too much, you know, overdubbing afterwards. It just, we just made a record the old-fashioned way. And because if you listen to those records, the old Bob Dylan records or you know, any of those records, Neil Young, like Harvest or whatever, you really do feel like you're in the room, and you can hear, if you listen to it with earphones, you actually can hear, you know, people's feet and stuff like that, which I think is great. And nowadays,
oh, yeah.
People try to edit out of records that are trying to be really perfect and polished, but sort of.
I was just thinking about the word polish. Like, I don't know. So polish can really, it can actually be more of an obliterator of character. Like,
for sure. Yeah, you know, and you lose some of that spirit of just the moment. You know, in the end, a lot of songs are recorded over, you know, months, and just you lose the original impetus of what you were going for. So we just tried something different, just to keep ourselves interested and to keep ourselves right, you know, on the edge creatively, and I think it really worked out. And for us, it just felt afterwards like there's no reason to do it any other way anymore, just because it worked out so well. It was a challenge because we didn't know how hard it was going to be. You need to be right on as far as performance goes, otherwise it's going to take forever to get anything done. But it worked out so well that, you know, we could have just done an entire album of first takes and can it right away. So,
what about the Rainfall on "Don't Give Up on Me"?
Oh, we just recorded "Rain Outside" from the patio door.
So great! I love that effect on it. I think it's such a, because that there's, you can feel the melancholy. Like, it's just little bit of weight, you know, that's in the song. I'm still impressed that this gang of boys who've grown up mostly Francophone are putting out you guys are just putting out some absolutely, oh boy, what kind of adjective do I want to use? The lyrics are a real treat. They're rich.
Oh, thank you.
And that's it's such a fun thing to decide to harness language and I mean, because you can come up with great riffs and all kinds of the right sounds and just something that's catchy and hooky and away you go. But if you do that and take the time to put together some lyrics that just bring it home, my goodness.
Well, for us, I think one of the definite advantages of Antoine and I working together and having worked together for so long is that we each stick to what we do best. So, you know, if we were waiting for me to come up with hooks or whatever, then we'd probably put out an album every 10 years. And same if Antoine was writing lyrics. So because we don't have the usual obstacles that people are either stronger doing lyrics or doing music, and then that's what sort of is in the way for them. We each stick to our respective strengths, and so we're very productive because of that. I think it's almost, we have to stop ourselves from recording an album every 6 months, basically.
please don't stop yourselves.
Yeah, every we just year want and a half. So far, it's been about every year and a half. So I think that's enough for the rest of the world.
That's a good rhythm, yeah, and that for sure. We can all kind of keep up with. You know, wow. So the official Sherbrooke launch taking place Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
that's a great date for change.
Yeah, at the Musée des Beaux-Arts, and it's a free event. It's open to everyone. It's 5 to 7, and you know, there's going to be drinks there, and it's just going to be basically a little get together party. Everybody's invited, and we're going to play 4 or 5 songs, and then the record's going to be for sale, and we're going to have probably a little showing of different clips and pictures of recording the album and stuff like that. So.
What a cool venue choice. I think that's so great. Super accessible. People can go for it when, you know, either before or after. You can go for a walk along the gorge there. It's such a great idea.
Yeah, excellent. And we wanted, because so much of the record was going for something different, and we're all from Sherbrooke originally, so I was a little bit tired of the bars and the restaurants and stuff, so we just wanted to do something different and to have a venue that would be nice enough, I think, to hold up to, you know, how much energy and how much attention we put into this record. We wanted it to be coherent with what we were hoping for as well. So.
I love that, because it's I think investing a little time and a little extra time and thought into choosing a venue like that for the launch is really great, because it's an excellent segue from where you recorded it too. You know, it's an interesting mix.
Yeah, it's a so beautiful great. Room there. So.
Oh yeah, wonderful. Oh my goodness, Philippe Cousteau, congratulations to you and the entire band. The album is delicious. It's just so great. It's so right for this time of year too, to just get us all started on summer as well.
Yeah, we were trying to not record a fall album again. So. Thank you, though, for the good words.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, we'll see you on April 13th then.
Great. Thank you very much, Sheila.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care.
You too.